Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
We're going to switch over to the message. I want you to get your Bibles out. If you got your Bibles, turn them to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to talk a little bit about this month. I wanted to look a little bit into the idea of the unseen realm. The unseen realm. Sorry, I'm just having glitches on my... There we go. Okay. There's something about the unseen. And if we think that it doesn't impact us, we'd be wrong. Just because you can't see something doesn't mean it doesn't have consequences. Just 2 weeks ago, spring break, took the little ones for two nights, gave Brittany and Jordan a big holiday. And we took the kids for 2 nights, 2 days, 3 days actually, and did a local vacation. So one of which was going to Uncle Hayden's house, where he has a pool in his building downtown. So they love going to Uncle Hayden's house, you know. So we go swimming, and we're in this little pool and diving around. And the little one goes, Grandpa, can you catch me? And I said, okay. So, no, stand a little further back. Yeah, and I'm like, okay. And she jumps, I catch her, and then I put her back on the ledge. And then she wants to, of course, do it again and again and again 1,000 times. But she's, do it again, and this time, go back and go under the water. I'm like, under the water. Yeah, so I'm standing like this, and then, no, go under the water. I'm like, go back further. So I'm now, go under the water. So I'm like this. And I can't see. I'm in a different realm. I'm in the realm of the water. She's in the realm of the air. I'm just standing there. Next thing I know, I am almost knocked out cold. I don't know what happened. I assume that she launched herself this way, got her head right, her foot right into my head, cut my eyebrow here, and my nose was just like pounding. I thought I'm for sure going to bleed all over the pool, and I, of course, I'm still holding her. She can't quite swim yet, so I have to hold her and put her down, and she's going, Grandma, all this, and I'm like, wait, I just can't, and to this day, I still bump my nose, and it's like, ow! If you think that just because something's happening in a different realm can't affect you, you'd be mistaken. Okay? And I just want to recognize the fact that a lot of us live in the realm of the natural. We live in the realm of the natural. We see with our eyes. We have 5 senses. Those are the ones we use in the natural realm in order to identify what's going on around us. But the Bible talks about an unseen realm. It talks a lot about something that's going on that we can't see with the 5 senses. And as Christians, I believe if we want to live well and be effective in our lives and in our ministry, we need to live with the reality of that unseen realm. We need to live with the reality of that unseen realm. And so this series that we want to walk through is going to maybe help us to orient our lives in such a way that we can walk in that in a helpful way. Leading up to talking about intercessory prayer and talking about fasting and how that unlocks some of the abilities for us to engage with greater authority in that unseen realm. And I believe that Nick and I were talking about the need for a prayer, the need for us to do some intercessory prayer, for the need for us to just take some things before the Lord in prayer. And so we believe at the end of this teaching series, at the end of this month, I would like to call you to a week of some engaging in the unseen realm. A week of maybe some fasting and a week of some prayer, because as Joan said, we need the Holy Spirit. We need some things to be done in the heavenly realms in order for us to be effective here, and so we need to know what that is. So I'm hoping that by the end of this month, that you as disciples will have a greater sense of awareness and a greater ability to comprehend kind of what's going on in that unseen realm. So we're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 to 22. And this is a story that is just one of those crazy stories from the work of the prophets. And it's the story of Elisha. And I referenced it not that long ago, but I wanted to dive into it just a little bit more today. And it starts, we're going to start in verse 8. And I'm just going to read the story, okay? So just engage the story. If you got a Bible, follow along in your Bible. If you don't, you can follow along on the screen if you like. It says this: Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. And time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, the king, said one of his officers. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. And then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed. Open his eyes, Lord, said he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots, a fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. And so he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, this is not the road, this is not the city. Follow me, I will lead you to the man you're looking for. And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them? Do not kill them, he answered. Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. And so he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Crazy story. Crazy story full of supernatural things that were going on. And at the end, the story ends well with a surprise twist there at the end. What I wanted to walk through today was just to recognize that we must not be blind to the realities of the unseen realm. Okay, Elisha prayed, open his eyes. There was this inability for the servant to see what was going on. What is the nature of this unseen realm? Well, we understand, and we went through this briefly under our Essential Truth series about creation, where God not only created the earth and all of the universe and the natural world, you see, but he also created the heavenlies. He created the spiritual beings. We call them angels. He created spiritual beings. And I'm not going to walk you through every single reference to there. I'm going to let you do some of the studying on your own. You want to dig around and find some of these scriptures. But we do see multitude of divine beings that are within the spirit realm are working with God. They're his attendants. They're his messengers, his servants. We got cherubim and seraphim who are worshiping God at the temple. We've got angels, which are messengers. They're the people who do God's bidding that he needs done, many of whom are giving their attention here to this earth and what needs to be done here. And of course, within this context, there was a conflict and a rebellion. And so we have a bunch of the divine beings who are operating now in rebellion to God. And so in the heavenly realms, we understand that there is a conflict. There is a war going on. And there is a hierarchy of these angels. Some of the angels seem to have greater positions of responsibility, like Michael, the great prince, the great archangel is a word we use. And he seems to have some kind of ability to give greater strength or greater ownership over what's going on in the spiritual realm. And we have Satan, who appears to have been a prince of the spirit realm as well, but he was led the rebellion and is now cast down and is the prince of those who are, or the king of those who are in rebellion. Satan cannot touch God. God has never once ever been threatened. Never once has he ever been insecure in his position. He created this with his word, and there is no scariness to him about what this rebellion is doing. He just immediately puts into plan his operation to fix it all. And we talked a little bit about that, about the restoration of all things, which we talked about just 2 weeks ago. So in this unseen realm, we have Satan, who can't touch God, and a whole host of people that are in rebellion. So the next best thing they could do is attack the image of God. They can attack the creation of God. They can come against this world. And so these spiritual beings who are supposed to be attending and helping and supporting what we're doing here on the earth on behalf of God, they're supposed to be supporting. Instead, they are now influencing us toward destruction. They're working against us. They're trying to find ways to bring about the destruction of this earth. And it's all directed by anger and hate against not even us, it's against God. So Satan starts right in the beginning with Adam, right in the beginning with the tempter, the one who appears to the tempter who appears to Adam and Eve. We see in the garden, he says, you could be like God, and tempts them to do wrong. Interestingly enough, the first Adam fell. The second Adam was Christ, and he didn't fall. And the second Adam, Jesus Christ, was also tempted. He spent 40 days in the desert, and what was he doing? Fasting and praying. And in that time, the enemy came in to tempt him, tried several times to try to get him to do his own thing, to veer off the path that God had done. And each time, Jesus was able to overcome him. So praise God. Jesus did not fall prey to the tempter, to the spiritual being who was trying to influence him in his humanity to disobey God. In this conflict, we see that these divine beings aren't just working individually, but they're working together, and they're working strategically. They're working strategically. We see in the story of Daniel that one of these divine beings comes to him, an angel, and explains what's going on. So we get a little glimpse into what's going on into this area. And he says this, and I point out this scripture text for us. Sorry. I think I have this text here. Maybe I failed to put it on my text. Yeah, it is. It's the wrong reference. Sorry, the Second Kings threw me off there. It says this, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you have set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days." Now, that reference, the prince of this Persian kingdom, is not a reference to the actual king of Persia. We're looking here at something happening in the heavenly realms, the leader or the director behind the prince of Persia, behind the king. So the prince of Persia resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for visions concern a time yet to come. So this little glimpse tells us that there is something there. And then, of course, we have the scriptures in Ephesians that talk about principalities and powers of this dark world. And so we recognize that there is some organization. That I think is the key takeaway, is that these in the spiritual realms, there is an organization, the strategy. Okay, we have to get off of the idea that movies would like to portray, which is of scurrying little imps that go, you know, and they're running around just chaotically trying to be evil, you know, and scare people and do things. This would be a totally wrong image of these very powerful divine beings who organize and are ordered and are on a campaign to destroy things. Just to give you a glimpse, I can't help but think, how does the drug industry targeting our teenagers continue to thrive? How is it that we haven't just eradicated that? Should be simple, but it's not. Why? Because there is a concerted effort, a strategic plan to bring destruction to our young people. And that's just one area, but it's strategic, it's thoughtful, and it's been planned. That's the spiritual realm that we are working with. Unfortunately, we're not given a lot of information on this area. We're not told a lot of the details for how this works, and that drives some of us crazy, because some of us would love to just figure out how it all works. In fact, we might waste a lot of time trying to figure out what the heavenly realms look like. And I think there's a reason that God does not put a lot of details in. I think it's similar to why we don't have a lot of detail on how the end times work. Because God is encouraging us not to focus in that direction. He gives us enough for us to understand how we need to live here, but not enough that we get caught up and lost and sidetracked. It says that in, and there was quite often a reference by Paul to some of the false teachers and the false doctrines that were traveling around the times, around the world where all the churches were. People that were trying to lead them off into these curious things, and many of them had to do with angels. Many of them had to do with spiritual powers. They were always trying to figure them out. And Paul basically said to them, if you look at 1 Timothy 4:6, is to have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. He encourages us. In Colossians, he encourages us, don't delight in false humility and the worship of angels. Don't let these things disqualify you. Don't let them throw you off the pace. Yet we are living in the realm, the reality of an unseen realm where these battles are going on, where strategic efforts are happening. We may not be able to grasp the mechanics and the makeup of what's the unseen world, but we're given enough material in the Bible to help us live well in light of it. And so I look at a couple of great verses like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. So fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal. There's something in this text here, this little encouragement that's reminding us there's a lot more going on here than just the physical realities of what you see. And so learn to see well. Then there's another one. It's in Ephesians 4:12. Of course, it tells us our struggle in this world is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So Paul is very clear. The New Testament is very clear that what we saw in the story of Elisha and his servant, when Elisha got a glimpse into this, and he prayed that his servant's eyes would be open, and he saw it, is the realities of the unseen realm that even in the New Testament are affirmed to us that there is a battle going on there, and that's where we need to remember. We need to step into that. We need to step into it. We don't have to be preoccupied with it, but we need to handle that unseen realm. So I'm going to keep unpacking these elements over the next few weeks that will help us to, I think, walk more confidently as we go. Let's look at another thought, another scripture. We must situate ourselves in the realities of this unseen realm. Okay? Now, by situate, I mean like that idea when you go to the map on the in the mall, or you go to the map in a, some tourist site where you go, and there's always a map, and it situates you. Maps don't do you very much good until you know, where am I in this picture? So they have this beautiful little point says, you are here. Where are we in all of this? Where are we in this consideration of the spiritual realm? The natural world is scary enough, let alone having your eyes open to see the unseen realm. There's a contrast here in this story between two people. The servant who is filled with fear, anxiety, uncertainty, what am I doing, how are we going to handle this? There's an army all around the city. And Elisha, who is astonishingly confident and calm. I mean, I'm starting to get into the realm of like Star Wars movies here. You know, like I'm starting to get in the realm of these Jedi masters who walk around and nothing phases them. And they just, you know, wave off all the army of bad guys, and they, you know, they pull up their lightsabers. They're never riled. They're never panicked. Somehow they have this awareness of the force and the power that they got. Now, I'm gonna deal with that misconception of how power goes in a minute, but the idea of Elisha acting like some amazing, powerful leader who just goes, don't worry, can't you see what's around you? Because he can see, because he's aware of what's going on in the unseen realm, he has this great confidence. I want to encourage you, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. I lived in a time when supernatural stuff was being talked a lot. And there was, we used to call it a demon behind every bush. That was a phrase that was used quite often. And we would often say, hey, stop looking for a demon behind every bush. Because every problem that we ever had was related to a demon. Oh boy, that demon's coming at me again. I said, well, no, you just need to eat better. you had a heart attack because, you know, look what you're eating. But no, that's not a heart. That's not, you know, so you start to blame demons for everything that's going on. And in that kind of a situation, you can also live under fear, because now every time you walk, you don't know what's going to come at you and come against you. And so you live with fear. I want to encourage you that as you learn to understand what's going on in the unseen realm, you can have confidence like Elisha and not be afraid. And here's some key texts that I think need to anchor us in this area. Okay, one is from 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Now, this is a reference to the satanic force that's at work in the world, the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist that's at work in the world. And people are getting scared and freaked out about how it's going to hurt the church. In the same way that sometimes in our own center here, as our culture becomes increasingly non-Christian, we feel the threat of what a non-Christian nation might bring against the church and bring against us. You know, I just want to stand up for what I believe. I just want to stand up for what I've always felt is biblical in the Bible. And now that I'm being told that you're weird, you're freak, you're this, you start to kind of crawl in, you start to get afraid. I want to encourage you, there is a work of the Antichrist, there is a work of the spirit of the evil spirits that are at work in our nation, and they are coming against the church, absolutely, but you do not have to fear, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He also says, he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and the Father are one. Okay, and these are just samples of what are some great stories in the Bible, like the story of Elisha, that will give you confidence to know that you are in God's camp. In the spiritual realm, you are a child of God. And there is nothing in that spiritual realm that can touch God. That's what the scripture is saying. So even though you acknowledge what's happening there, don't worry, because I have you secure, both in the physical world and in the spiritual realm. So that gives us confidence. That can encourage us and help us as we walk forward. When we have our eyes open to see the spirituality, we do so from a position of I am God's child. Now, we must also recognize our authority in the unseen realm. We need to address the question of authority. What rights do we have in this unseen realm? So we have a position that we're a child of God, but what authority do we have? I love it in the story that Elisha seems to have a sense that even in this unseen world, he has authority. And he says, strike them with blindness. And God struck them with blindness because Elisha asked. And this was a common thing in Elisha's life. Elisha just seemed to have this understanding. When he became the head prophet, he had followed Elijah in the wilderness, and Elijah got caught up and taken away by the chariot, right? Come down, chariot, take me home, right? And there is Elisha, and the mantle of Elijah fell, and Elisha picked it up. It's like a scarf, you know, puts it on his shoulders, and he walks back, and there across the river is the school of prophets. Okay, these are all the apprentices. And now he needs to show, I am now the new lead prophet here. God has anointed me to take charge now. And he looks across at these guys, and they're probably wondering, what's Elisha doing now? And he grabs this mantle, and he smacks the water, and he says, where now is the God of Elijah? And he says, is that anointing with me or not? And he smites the water, and God causes it to be parted, and he walks across. And everybody's established, don't mess with Elisha. This is just this authority that he walks in. He calls it out. He has this ability to walk with awareness that even in the spiritual realm, in the supernatural, God is listening to me, and I don't have to be afraid. I love how he does it. He goes from believing to knowing. He goes from believing, do I have the authority of the mantle of the prophet or not? What I love about the story of Acts is the evidence that the whole community is filled with the Holy Spirit and becomes not just a community of priesthood, but a community of prophets. We are all now little Elishas because we all carry the mantle of the Holy Spirit. When Joan goes out to Malawi, you go in the power of the Holy Spirit and you have authority in that spirit to accomplish God's will. And we get to proclaim that. We get to stand on that. In Jesus' training of his disciples, there was also training in navigating this unseen realm. So we have the story of Luke 10. And we have an account of him sending out the disciples two by two to proclaim his message of salvation, to prepare the villages for his coming. And in Luke 10, verses 5 and 6, he speaks of the authority to pronounce peace. The authority to pronounce peace. When you enter a house, he says, first say peace to this house. And if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. This is an activity of the unseen realm. This is an activity where something's happening here. I physically can't see it, but something spiritually is happening where peace is coming upon this place. It's much more than just being blessed. When I enter a house to my friends for a party, I like to come in all my extrovertedness. Like, you guys are blessed, I'm here. Well, there's nothing physical or spiritual going on there. I'm just walking in pretending like I'm a blessing. This is not like that. This is not, you're blessed to have me here. This is literally a spiritual proclamation of peace upon a place, and it will rest there. And if they reject it and they say, no, I don't want it, then it will come away from that place and you will move on. And I want to encourage us to recognize the authority that we have to proclaim peace. As they return and give an account in Luke 10, we go down a bit, it says, they share their experiences about walking in authority. And Jesus says, how did it go? And they're like, man, you should have seen us, Jesus. We were like, demon be gone. It was gone. We were like healing people, like legs be whole, and they were whole. And man, we were just killing it. They were like pretty pumped about the supernatural things they were able to do. That was their learning. That was their training. And it is pretty clear it would be easy for us to get excited if you laid hands on somebody and their leg grew out or went straight or something like that miraculously happened. You'd be just like, wow. So Jesus, in his training, leans into how we need to understand this. So if we go down to, he says, Jesus looked at them and he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So first, note that Jesus, like Elisha, sees into the heavenly realms. He sees what's going on. In this case, it's not just a ring of chariots of fire. This time, it's, I literally saw Satan fall from heaven. I saw Satan being defeated. I saw Satan's attempts to try to destroy this earth were being cut off, and he is falling. This is exciting. Jesus is like, yes, this was the plan initiated from day one when Adam sinned. This was the plan, that Satan will fall and we will deal with this nonsense. These disciples are part of a growing army of which you and I are now a part. This was like a notice to Satan. The army of God is on the move. And Jesus is so excited. Because this is what it's all about. Jesus knows he's going to leave this earth. He knows he's going to turn it over to his disciples, and they are going to continue to do the work of pushing back the kingdom of darkness. And again, I won't go into all the references, but you read the New Testament, you read the studies, the scriptures, you'll see that it's about pushing back the kingdom of darkness. It's about pushing back the kingdom of the enemy and expanding the kingdom of God. And as we do that, we are a growing army of people that are going out there that are pushing Satan back. We are not like hunkered down, you know, trying to hold on till Jesus comes. We're advancing. We're a progressive, forward-moving army that's going to take back this world and is going to pray that everywhere darkness comes, we are going and we're bringing the light of the gospel. And the enemy cannot stand. The gates of hell will not prevail against this advancing army. Right? This is what Jesus is seeing here. And he points out how exciting it is that you and I, that we get to be a part of this great new army. Second, I want you to see that Jesus affirms that his followers have authority from an unseen realm that gives them power that impacts even this physical world. Terrible things that lash out and hurt. Why snakes and scorpions? I don't think Jesus is concerned only about snakes and scorpions, but I do think it represents that which is broken in this world, that which was never meant to be evil. In heaven, the lion lays down with the lamb. Even in nature, there's no more killing and destroying. But our nature has been corrupted, and so this world is a dangerous place. Bad things happen in this world. But Jesus says, you have authority as you walk, that you can walk with the knowledge that these things will not overcome you. You will have authority over them. It's a lesson how we can walk in the light of new authority that has power against the battles in the heavenly realms. It grants new directions in the physical world, and so we pray. We pray hard for things. We pray, and we believe that God is going to intervene and move. We have the miracle of our friend Stavros sitting here in our sanctuary right now with brand new lungs. Wow. Now, I know medical science has been a part of this, but man, we've been praying because we know the enemy is always trying to come against it. This week, our niece's daughter got rushed to the hospital, looked paralyzed. Something was really wrong. It was panicking. Sent her to the hospital, and they quickly were trying to address what's going on. And they said, did a scan. They said, there's a lesion on the brain. It looks like a stroke, paralyzed half her body. And then all of a sudden, there was a seizure, and then there were more seizures. And she started getting better. It seemed like the impact of the stroke was getting better, and she started laughing and talking again and was able to eat, still struggling on this side. Then they had another top-level doctor come in and take a look at her and said, you know what, I don't see any evidence of a stroke. I don't see anything that's going on there. I think they misdiagnosed this. I think they got it wrong. I think this child just had a a virus and it's just working its way out, she's going to be fine. And they're struggling with the question. So either the option is, A, there was a misdiagnosis, and that which they saw on the MRI and that which they saw that affected her, the stroke, everything, that was very evident. Or the army of people praying for her, such as our prayer chain, was winning the day, and there was a change in this natural world. And that's what happens, because God has given us authority to move and to pray and to believe. Why doesn't it happen every time, every way we want it to work? I don't know. There's still a lot of questions I still don't understand. But I know this. We never give up. And we never stop. And that's our job, is to take authority in Jesus' name over the work of the enemy. So thirdly, I just want to quickly point out that we see Jesus makes clear that any authority we have in this world and in this spiritual realm is delegated authority. I have given you my authority. And this is where we take a massive leap away from the Jedi warriors in Star Wars. Because in most of our supernatural stories that we love to watch on TV, the power becomes something I control. It becomes me. And we want to be the hero of our own story. We always want to be the one who overcomes and has power. So there is nothing, you know, the Jedis, they work with a mitochondrial forces or some silly stuff. They, you know, they make up some stuff that they can channel some energy that no one else can do, and therefore they have all these powers. They're impersonal. They're not directional, but that's not the spiritual realm that's unpacked in the Bible. There is spiritual beings there, and God is the greatest authority, and the authority and spiritual power we act under is never our own. It's always under God's delegated authority. So therefore, one of the things that we need to do is make sure we're staying in keeping with the will of the Father, staying in a relationship with Him. That becomes critical, and we'll talk more about that, I think, next week. But the authority we have is delegated, and He warns us not to get excited about the power that's being worked in our lives, but to always celebrate the position we have before the Heavenly Father. We are saved, where names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're on God's team, right? That's what we stand in. That's what we constantly stay focused on. Once you see how Christ stands as Lord over all, and then you recognize your place in Him, you can walk with confidence and authority in your life, totally free from the fear of the snakes and the scorpions and the terrible things that are lashing out at us. And then lastly, just we need to make sure our battles in the heavenly realms, that we see the battles, that we recognize them, but our focus is on earth. Our focus is on earth. And I say that because, again, when we discover the realities of the unseen realm, we can become overly fixated on them. And we can somehow look to make ourselves experts in the unseen realm and forget that God never asked us to do anything really in the spiritual realm. He's looking after that. Our job is here on earth to proclaim the kingdom of God to humans, to other people that God wants His love to be extended to. And that must be kept in front of us, lest we get sidetracked. There's an old expression, again, that we used to have, and it was be that you can be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. You ever heard that one? And we've known people like that, that live in the scriptures, or they live in studying, and in the end, they actually are doing nothing to propel the kingdom of God to other people. Right? God doesn't care how powerful you get in the Word, how powerful you get in the spiritual realms, how powerful you might get. If you are not bringing the love of Jesus to other people, you're failing in what the number one job we have, which is to reach out and love people. So we must be careful to keep our focus on the kingdom mission. I love how the story ends. He leads them to Samaria, Elisha, and he brings them in there, and then he says, Lord, open their eyes. They open their eyes. We're right in the middle of the enemy's camp. Everything within the king must have said, let me kill him. But fortunately, he listens to Elisha, and he says, what should we do? Should we kill him now? And Elisha says, no, give him something to eat. And he throws a feast. He loves on him. And he says, go back. And there was peace in the land. Our goal is to proclaim peace. The authority we have in this unseen realm should not be focused on coming against Satan, but it should be about proclaiming peace to people who are harassed and hurting. It's too easy to become sidetracked. Love what Paul said in Colossians chapter 2. He says, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also gets into great detail about what they have seen. And by what they have seen, he's likely referring to their spiritual insights into the unseen realm. Like these are people who self-proclaim masters that would go around and they, of course, collect money. They get paid for teaching. So this is a little business for them. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. Paul, in a twist here, in a bit of a sarcastic method, says they have unspiritual minds. They have lost connection with the head from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligament and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Our job is to stay rooted. Jesus says, abide in the vine. And here Paul says, abide in the vine. Stay connected to the head of Jesus, which is Jesus Christ. Stay connected. Don't go rogue and start doing your own thing and pretending like you got all this and you're all that. You stay connected to Jesus, and Jesus is on a mission to redeem people for God. We live in the reality of this unseen realm. Spiritual activity is abundant. Battles between angels of God and the fallen angels is happening. Strategic effort is being engaged by divine beings to destroy the creation of God. We walk on earth, but we have authority that transcends into this heavenly realm to take a stand against the devil, yes. Even to cast out demons, yes. But especially to proclaim freedom, which is to say, to release prisoners who are trapped in Satan's kingdom. So the reflecting questions I might just leave you with is this. Maybe the worship team can come on back. They're gonna lead us in another song, but this question, where is the peace of God needed around you? And to whom is God sending you to proclaim peace? Where is the peace of God needed around you? I've become far more sensitive in the last little while to how people are experiencing peace. When I'm out, whether it be in the food bank or whether it be in the community talking to people and seeing when we pray for people, there is a proclamation of peace. And people will come back to you and say, I feel so good. I remember my neighbor said, I slept for the first time in a long time. This is the authority we have to proclaim peace to people. Where is there people in your life and a situation and a place that needs your peace, that needs God's peace? Do you have the opportunity to go and seek and say, would you be open to me praying? A prayer blessing on you, a prayer protection on you. And wherever you can, you pray, say, Lord, bring your peace upon this situation. That's what we get to do. And to whom is God sending you to proclaim peace? Who is that person that maybe just needs you to talk to them? And I don't believe it's always about here. I think there's this gathering on Sundays in this building is a place of peace, because I do believe that there is a canopy in the spiritual realm over this place. Where God's people are, Satan does not belong, and he has no authority here. We have a pre-service prayer. Why? Because in the pre-service prayer, we pray, Lord, protect this place. Lord, let all who walk in these doors know peace. That's why when I see people come in, sometimes I'll look and somebody's new, somebody doesn't know what's going on. I'll look and there's tears coming down their face, and they don't know why. Because you didn't realize this place is a place of peace, because God's people are here and his presence is here. And that's wonderful. We need to bring that to others as well. That same thing, experience, can happen in our world as we go to whom God is sending us and proclaim peace to their homes, proclaim peace to their lives, to their workplaces. Let's be those people who walk in the light of the unseen realm. Heavenly Father, I pray and ask that you would guide us. I pray for anyone today who feels insecure because they don't know if their name is written in your book of life. They don't know if they're one of your children. I pray right now that just by the confession of their sins, the confession with their that they believe in you, that God, you would redeem them, that you would help them to know you right now. that they would be able to stand with confidence, knowing that both in the physical and in the spiritual, they are looked after by you. And I pray also for us as believers that you would remind us of our place in this reality of this unseen realm and all that's going on around us. We pray we wouldn't be mad at flesh and blood. We wouldn't be mad at people, because people are not our enemy. I pray that we would be able to stand with authority against the powers that are in our world, and that we'd be able to proclaim peace to our friends and neighbors, even those that irritate us, that we can proclaim peace upon their lives. Guide us in this, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life, and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at ladnerlife.com. That's www.ladnerlife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.